There's my music. Hello, everybody. This is your host, Dr. Diana Wiley. The program is Love, Lust, and Laughter. And my guest is Nikki Lee, who is a certified master sexpert and certified love coach. Nikki got her certification from Loveology University, run by, the founder is Dr. Ava Cadell, who's a very good friend of mine and who has been on this program. And Nikki herself has a radio show ready for, let's see, Nikki, tell us the name. I know the website is readyforloveradio.com. And your radio show has a similar name to mine. What is your radio show's name?
Well, the show itself is Ready for Love. And actually, my tagline is live, love, and laugh, and embrace your sexuality. So it's
okay.
Very similar to your radio show name.
Right, and embrace your sexuality. And then you are the host and producer of Ready for Love Radio, and just like on the New Visions Radio Network, and just like my show, all of the shows are archived, and that's very helpful. Any of you listening live, if you want, you may call in with questions for Nikki or for myself or for both of us, and the number is 888-874-4888, and you might wait until maybe 20 minutes into the show where we will have kind of set some of the topics. Now, you say, Nikki, that helping women with strict backgrounds is a mission of yours because you feel that many of these women can't or shouldn't enjoy sex and pleasure. And so you want to reach this group to help them understand what they're missing and the struggle that they may not even know that they're fighting. And so when you say strict background, the definition of that is what, a very religious family? Is it more than that?
That's pretty much what I'm thinking. It's very personal for me. That's the way I was raised.
Yes.
In a very, very strict household. I know that my father doesn't feel that way, but, you know, we do conflict on that and many other things. I was raised in Virginia in a very strict household, you know, the Bible Belt, the very mm-hmm. conservative household. And there's a lot of things about the way I was raised I still agree with. But I have very definite issues with the fact that the whole mentality of you don't talk about sex, you don't think about sex, and you definitely don't enjoy it. You know,
mm-hmm.
It was the wifely duty type mentality. You know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
no sex before marriage. You don't think about it. Dating was only for marriage. You don't spend any time with a boy. I mean, heavens no, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my whole thing is, you know, how do you know if you want to be with a person if you don't spend time with them and get to know them? That always seemed kind of stupid to me. You know?
Yes, yes.
You know, I mean, you know, if you're going to spend, you know, a big chunk of your life with this person, I want to know them, you know.
Of course, of
you
course.
You know, he's kind of goofy to me, but I saw too many people jump into marriage and not really know the person and miserable for years and years and years, and it just seemed kind of stupid, you know?
Yes, I did not say in my introduction of you that you're also a businesswoman. You have 25 years of promotional experience, 30 years of business management experience, and you own two businesses. So when you decided to take the Loveology University course, which took a year, and
yeah.
I think you told me that there were 34 different courses, but you could do all of this online. And I'm mentioning this because I happen to know that some people listening who are my clients are very interested in getting a coaching or degree online, either for love and for sex. So can you talk a little bit more about your experience at Loveology University?
Well, I'll tell you, when I first started doing it, I wasn't sure I was going to tackle all 34 classes, because that's a lot. That's quite a commitment. Mm-hmm. You know, I started with just a couple first. And the Master Sexpert certification was only about 12 courses, if I remember right. And I said, well, let me shoot for that first. Those were kind of the really fun courses, you know. And I said, well, let me start with those. And I got through those without too much trouble. And like I said, those were the really fun things. Plus, it was kind of cool to say you're a certified master sexpert. I mean, that sounds cool.
Yes, of course.
But, you know, once I started noticing how different I started feeling about me and different things, I had to tackle the rest of them. I had to finish the rest of the classes at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I love the fact that it was so flexible. I could take the classes. I could study everything on my schedule when it suited me. And at the time I did this, I was actually working for Dr. Ava. I was doing social networking, and I was handling her social media work at the time. That's how I even got into all this.
Right.
You know, I had never heard of the things that she was doing in Loveology University, and it was definitely an eye-opener when I met her and started finding out all the stuff that she was doing. But this was
about 10 years ago, wasn't it?
About 8, I guess.
8 years, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because in July, I celebrated 6 years since I got my certification.
Yeah.
So I started studying about 7 years ago.
Okay, good.
But like I said, the flexibility was fantastic, because I was working about 60 hours a week when I did this.
Right.
You know, being able to study at 2 in the morning if I wanted to, or on the weekends if I wanted to, or whatever, it was great to have that flexibility. And, I mean, with me being in Virginia and her being in L.A., I couldn't just go to class. You know, I had to be able to do it all from home.
Right.
So being able to download the information or go into the website and dig around and watch the videos. And, I mean, the sheer mass of information that she has on there is amazing. Plus, she's added new classes since I was there that I can tap into and go into and, you know, take the quizzes and just make sure I got the information. So I highly recommend it to anybody. I mean, even if you don't want to be a coach and you just want to learn more about all these incredible topics, because, I mean, the course curriculum, if you're fascinated by intimacy and sex, and, I mean, who isn't?
But true enough.
The classes are fantastic.
How did it change your life personally, if you're willing to talk about that?
Well, you know, as a promotional person, I'm always looking for the way to sell a product. And I can't sell a product I don't believe in. I just can't.
That's absolutely correct.
You know, I have to believe in the product. So I'm like, okay, you know, come on. This was so out of my comfort zone when I first started Dr. Ava. I'm like, okay. You know, so, you know, like I said, coming from my background, and Dr. Ava was a little overwhelming, to say the least. But I was like, okay.
She's really out there, I know.
Well, in a good way. But
in a good way, yes. Oh, yes. She and I have been friends for probably 13, 14 years, and actually we were her house guests. We being my fiancé Brian and I were her house guests, in August. And what fun we had.
I haven't met her in person yet, but that's top of my list when I get to L.A. is I have got to meet Dr. Ava in person. I have to.
Yes, and she'll want to meet you, too, I know. And when she came on your radio program, what did you talk about? The university?
Well, the first time she came on, the first thing we ever did together was promoting the World's Best Lover contest. That was the first thing we ever did together. So that was the first thing. And the last time I had her on was about 2 months ago, and we talked about Neuroloveology, her book.
Right, her book, yeah.
Fascinating book. You know, the mind and sex and all that. Oh, fascinating.
Yeah.
But, well, it was cool talking about Lavalleja University once I'd gone through all this, because I mean I knew what we were talking about at that point. Because I mean, you know, when with working with her and all that, I mean I've delved into the deepest resources, you know, recesses of the website.
Uh-huh.
If it's there, I found it.
Yeah.
But the coolest thing was, you know, with promoting her, I'd heard her on interviews, because of course every time she did an interview, I tuned in and was taking notes and you know, screening calls and stuff. I'd always heard her say that, you know, what an impact the information had on the students and, you know, the coaches, and that the coaches could see just as big a change as anybody. You know, and I'm like, well, that's, I can spin that. I can use that in selling things. You know, but I never fully bought that it had that big a change on the coaches, you mm-hmm. know, and they're studying the program. But I started feeling better about me, you know, mm-hmm. after being raised in this whole atmosphere where if you have any kind of feeling, you know, sexual feelings or attracted to another person and all these kind of things, you're told make you a bad person, or you're supposed to feel guilty, or you're supposed to feel shame if you feel this way. You know, I mean, this was drilled in my head for decades, you know.
Of course. And those are hard messages to let go of, because they've been so integrated, and they are, you know, of course, religion can be used as a force of oppression.
Yes,
and I think
definitely.
And I think that's one reason that when a lot of people will refer to their personal beliefs as spiritual rather than as religious.
Right.
Yes, but yours were actually religious because of how you were raised.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I'm a normal, well, okay, normal may be a little, that may be stretching it, because I'm not normal. But anyway, that's a whole other topic.
Well, you know what? Therapists hate the word normal.
I do,
because
too. Yeah.
People want to know what's normal, and there's such a range, so we don't like the word normal.
Let's go with, I'm a human, and I have human feelings, and of course, I'm attracted to a, you know, nice-looking man, and what can I tell you?
Yeah.
So, of course, I always felt bad if, you know, I see a sexy man, and I feel good about this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I'm a huge flirt, and, you know, so,
mm-hmm.
sue me. but I started to feel that, you know, maybe this isn't an all bad thing, you know. And I just started feeling better about me, you know. It's like, you know, I'm not all bad, and this isn't a bad thing. And I some of the stuff that I felt so bogged down with started going away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it wasn't even that's what the courses were about. I just started mm-hmm. feeling better about myself. And
yes.
I'm going to try to share this and not cry this time when I tell you the story. But it was just a quick thing, and I share this on my show sometimes. I spent some time with my mom, and she was real sick at the time. And we spent the day together, and she just told me, she says, I don't know what you're doing. She says, but I'd always tell this kind of loosely because I don't remember the exact words, but she told me, she says, you seem happier. She says, something's going on with you, and you seem happy, and happier than I've ever seen you before.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest gift my mom ever gave me.
And it was just in time, because she passed away soon after that.
She did. She did.
So that was a real gift. And how wonderful that... Did you explain some of the reasons for your extra happiness, the joy that she saw in your face?
Well, I did. And she knew I was starting to study the coaching stuff. Dad didn't. He didn't know till well after that. And then when he did find out, he goes, did your mother know what you were doing? I said, yeah, actually, she did.
Mm-hmm.
She did know exactly what I was doing.
So Dad still hasn't come around, I gather.
Yeah, he's never going to come around. He's never going to come around. And I'm never going to explain to him completely what it means and what I did study, because life doesn't need that kind of hassle.
Well, sure. I think it'd be, I mean, it's probably fruitless to engage in a conversation with your dad about this, but the Bible, of course, offers many good things, but it is often unfair to women. And, you know, why does the Bible have such awful things to say about women and sex?
You know, I actually talked to a friend of mine, a real good friend of mine. We've actually been friends for about 40 years. We joke that we still talk to each other after 40 years. And he actually has just recently started his own church, which is, I could actually throw something and hit it from my house right about now. But it's not non-denominational. And we've joked about having him come on my show. He has his own radio show on the same network I'm on. And we've talked about him coming on my show. And he has a very, very different perspective on women and religion and all that. And I told him, I said, one of these days, and we're going to stir everybody up when we do it, but I'm going to have him come on my show. And I said, and I want you and I to have a very serious conversation on there about what the Bible really says about women. And we're going to blow it out of the water. We're going to make them all mad. We're going to.
Yeah, it's complicated because the majority of women mentioned in the New Testament are either virgins or prostitutes. And so there seems like there was little room for virtuous women who enjoyed sex.
Right.
And, of course, there was also no room for women to become priests or preachers or certainly not popes.
Well, and I really, because he had a special thing that he did at his church one day, and he actually had a woman stand up and contribute some various things. And, I mean, he didn't have her preach a sermon or anything, but I like the fact that he recognizes the women that do contribute and do things, and it's not putting women down in any way whatsoever. And I mean, he even encourages his wife, who is still in the religion that we all grew up in. And he encourages her to step up more. He says, please step up and speak out and talk to me and do this kind of thing. So I said, you know, at some point we're going to do a show, and I want you to help me, you know, explode some of these myths that hold women back so much in the name of religion, because it drives me crazy.
Yes. So now I know you don't want to say your church specifically, the one you grew up in, but I do know that many Southern Baptists have announced that men are the head of the household, and that is that, men. And so women need to follow. That may go back to the early years of Christianity when the church forbade husbands and wives from enjoying sexual pleasure. I find that astounding. So they can't enjoy pleasure, and the man is in charge, so this is not very good for feminism, is it?
Well, it really is. I actually was just having a conversation with one of my best friends a little while ago about that. His mother is Southern Baptist, and her husband, and I mean, her husband just uses that to just keep her down in every possible way imaginable, and it drives me crazy. You know, he's the head of the house no matter what, and I just it takes everything in both of us to, you know, not just deck him. It really does.
Yeah, well, that's his way of being in control.
My father's like, well, you're not married because you just don't want a head of the house. I'm like, no. I said, I don't mind the head of the house, and I know, being as independent as I am, that floors everybody that knows me. My thing is, have respect for each other. If you have mutual respect for one another, I have no issue with somebody being the head of the house. I don't want to be in charge. I'm in charge all the time.
Right, with your businesses.
You know, somebody else can have control all they want, and especially, you know, and you know, let's like talk about sex. I'm like, take control, please. You know, I run two businesses. I don't need to be in control. You know, but if you have mutual love and respect for each other, somebody can be in charge. That's no problem whatsoever.
Right.
Yeah. But
so,
it's missing. That's what I saw growing up. I saw people that didn't respect each other, and they used headship as a way to keep the other person down. You know, it's like, I'm your head, therefore I don't have to respect you. That's where my issue is really, really comes to the forefront with people.
I can understand that. When I talk to some of my clients who come in and have all kinds of sexual problems, they were raised Catholic. They're often lapsed Catholics now, but they often have a lot of guilt associated, not only the Catholics, they don't have a corner on it, but other sort of evangelical Christian sects. And I asked them about their childhood, and you know, I think that, and in talking, they'll go back, and I think that perhaps children are aware of something that many adults forget, that what's needed from spiritual leaders, and often they don't get it, is warmth, kindness, and understanding, right, rather than a propensity to judge, preach, and chastise. And as adults, we often forget how contagious kindness and warmth can be. Right. And in so doing, we forget the essence of God.
Right.
The essence.
Well, you know, that's like we were talking in one of my shows a couple of weeks ago, is even something as simple as smiling at another human being. It's
yes.
So simple, but have you ever noticed you can, even if you're just like in the lines of the grocery store or something, you know, you just see some people and they just look so upset or just mad. And if you just smile at them and catch your eye, how often do they just smile? You know, it
yeah.
takes absolutely
That's very
no
true.
Effort, you know, and it just, they just smile. And I was telling myself, that's like, you know, I live out in the country. I mean, I'm in a small town out in the country. And, you know, you go about 10 minutes past my house and you're in the boonies. You really are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're out there and like everybody stops and waves when you drive by. Same idea, you know. And
right.
It's simple to do, but it just puts a smile on your face and you just feel good about it, you know. And it's so easy to do. It's the same thing you're talking about. You know,
it's true.
It's simple
it's
to
true.
Do and it just makes people feel good. You know, but people just, they don't put forth the effort anymore. Or a lot of people don't.
A lot of people don't. But you're right. It can change a person's day. I go out of my way to compliment a service person if a compliment is deserved.
Right.
Because so often they get complaints. And
right.
So I'll say, thank you for your good service. Appreciate
exactly.
it. And,
I've
course,
worked in so many service
I'm sorry,
jobs.
Go ahead.
I've worked in service jobs and retail jobs and management jobs and that kind of thing, and you know, in a lot of customer service positions, and I do that. You know, I've been on the receiving end of so many just hostile customers, you know. So I do the same thing. I go out of my way to be nice or compliment the person or whatever if they do a good job, if they deserve it.
Yeah, if they deserve it. And And when somebody was, so when you were on the other side of the counter, so to speak, when someone did give you a compliment, didn't it just kind of make your day?
Yes. Well, and the same thing with our partner, somebody
mm-hmm.
that you're in a relationship with or a family member or whatever, do the same thing with them. You know?
Absolutely.
So we can practice with the people we run into out in public and then do the same thing to our partner when we get home.
Yeah, showing appreciation is huge to our partner.
I
find that so many relationships unravel because of a lack of emotional nourishment. They
yes.
stop saying, I appreciate this about you. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Well, it's like the taking the person for granted because they're always there, you know. But the
right.
thing is, they don't have to always be there. They have options.
Mm-hmm.
So show that you, just because they're there every day when you go to, you know, when you go to bed and when you wake up, you still need to appreciate the person. Show that you appreciate them. Don't just assume they know that you appreciate them.
Absolutely. So perhaps we'll move on to something beyond religion and sex, but I wanted to say that one of the things besides in religion that I think is deleterious, that women are subservient to men, but also that masturbation is really, really bad. And a recent Catholic catechism for junior high students stated that in no uncertain terms that masturbation is bad, really, really bad, as I said. And statute-wise, the Catholics have been placed jerking off somewhere between shooting heroin and grand theft.
Seriously?
Yes. Well, wow. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but, you know, I had a Catholic woman, an adult woman, who actually still was practicing Catholicism. She wasn't a lapsed Catholic, and she'd been told time and time again, don't touch down there. You're starting when she was a teenager, you'll go to hell. And so the only way she could reach orgasm was to lie on her stomach and rock. But it was kind of a look, ma, no hands thing.
Right.
But it was not partner compatible, really.
Right.
Lying on your stomach and rocking.
Right.
And I, you know, I like to counter to that, that I think God created orgasm, but prayers and churches are the creation of men. And, you know, what if God receives more joy when, oh, God forbid, an
Literally.
Unmarried couple lovingly shares oral sex than when a church-going husband and wife have passionless missionary position intercourse?
Right.
So, you know, I think God, and maybe even God made our arms long enough to masturbate. Who knows?
I got to say, I was talking to a friend of mine, and I debating how much detail to give because I don't know who might figure out who I'm talking about. But we were talking, and she was going through what she considers to be appropriate behavior between married couples.
Mm-hmm.
And my philosophy is, if you're a married couple, and even I mean, okay, in my opinion, if you're legal and you're, you know, if you're over 18 and you both agree and it's legal activities, enjoy yourself. You know, come on, people. But anyway,
yeah.
her deal was, she says, okay, if you're a married couple, this is what's appropriate and this is what's not, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so as we're talking and she's going through what she thinks is appropriate, I'm noticing this little trend in what she's telling me, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What she enjoys is appropriate. What she doesn't think she would enjoy is not appropriate. And I call her out on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, no. No, yeah. Yeah, it is. I said, okay, so you enjoy oral sex, and so that's okay. That's appropriate. But you don't think you enjoy anal sex, and that's not appropriate. But she's like, oh, no. But see, I'm not going to try it because the Bible says it's not appropriate. I said, no, that's not what the Bible said.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There have been lots of interpretations of the Bible through the years.
Yeah.
And even words are changed in definitions. So
you'll love what I did speak on my show. Well, it's been a couple months ago now. But I was doing an interview. I actually, for my 6-year anniversary, I had a co-host that comes on sometimes, and I had her interview me for my 6th anniversary, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I had the listeners send in their questions. And I had her interview me, and we were talking about masturbation. And I said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, I'm going to make a comment. I said, masturbation is not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Almost for effect. And I was sitting there, and I looked around. Of course, nobody saw me, but I looked around. I said, okay, I wasn't struck by lightning. Okay, moving on.
Yes. Yep. And, of course.
Sure. Just want to make sure I can say that and I get struck by lightning. Okay, we can move on now, you know.
Yeah. So some of your religious teachings linger, but
yes.
They were so, you were so indoctrinated for so many yes. years that it's hard, it is perhaps hard to move on.
It is. Well,
yes.
And I even admitted in a show a few weeks ago, I don't remember what the topic was, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, for years and years, I mean, my thing was even, and I don't know who's listening since this is your show, not my show.
Well, you may have some listeners, and you can post it, and they'll listen to the archived version.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I mean, for years, my thing was, you know, if your skin is touching you, then that's bad. Okay, that's masturbating. I said,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe if my skin and my fingers aren't touching me, maybe that's not as bad. Maybe that's
mm-hmm.
not quite bad. Okay, mm-hmm. you know when you're feeling guilty, you try to think of a way around the guilt, you know, because you're like, well, how can I not feel as ashamed? So how can I do this and not feel quite as bad?
Well, yes, and indeed, one of the major causes for orgasm difficulties is feeling guilty about enjoying yourself.
Well,
this goes against a lot of religious training that
well,
you
yeah.
should have pleasure.
Yep,
and
definitely.
And yet, we, you know, sex is so healthy for us. It's so good for us.
Well, that's
and,
like when you tell people there's all these benefits to sex mm-hmm. and orgasm, you know. Like,
yes.
you know, I've had migraines my entire life. And, you know, being single and coming from a religious household, nobody ever told me that orgasms were good for headaches. Because,
that's
I mean,
right.
wouldn't me that. You know?
Instead, it was more common for, say, a woman to say, not tonight, dear, I have a headache, whereas she may yep. not realize that having an orgasm is one of the best things for her headache. Now, apparently it isn't all headaches, but it's. I think it's often true for migraines. And But you know, with orgasm, you get so much more oxytocin, which is really healthy for you, and endorphins and all those good things. But many women who are quite religious, in my experience, and I've been in practice now for 35 years and have seen thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and so I do know that many women have trouble with orgasm because of, as I said, it's guilty about enjoying themselves, often religious-based. Often they need to stay in control of their emotions. And orgasm is about letting go, surrendering.
Right.
And or maybe they feel guilty because of childhood sex or childhood sexual abuse.
Right.
I mean, there are just so many causes for orgasm difficulties. Let me just pause here, Nikki, and say if anybody wants to join the conversation, call 888-874-4888. And Zach, our dear producer, will screen your call and put you on the air. He's the one who decides, though.
So, oh.
Yeah.
Zach.
Well, that's screening. So, but I want to quote it at this juncture because maybe we're going to segue over to talking about orgasm difficulties since so many women, religious women, have trouble with orgasm. Wilhelm Reich, you might have come across his name in your studies, but here's his quote. The pleasure of living and the pleasure of the orgasm are identical. Extreme orgasm anxiety forms the basis of the general fear of life. Fear of life, right?
Right.
So it's all kind of tied together. And, you know, letting go of your judgments about sexuality,
right.
yours perhaps and others, is easier to do for many people. Just to let go of those judgment, and then they also may need to dig deep into the fears and insecurities that a lot of people carry about, oh, their sexual history and preferences and behaviors.
Right. Well, you know, it didn't dawn on me till probably about 3, maybe 4 months ago, and I can't
yes.
believe it took this long to put it all together. But, you know, I think one of the biggest triggers for me, in a good way, with all of the coaching training was when I was reading one of the books that Dr. Ava has that you have to study, and it's in the final exam, so you've got to read this book and you got to get it,
mm-hmm.
is called Coaching the Love Coach, okay? And
mm-hmm.
it's great. And one of the things that's really important in there is to be non-judgmental of your coaching clients. You know,
oh,
which,
yes, yes.
It's obvious why that's important, you know? But the thing is, too, is that sunk in to be non-judgmental of myself. And I think that was so huge because everybody else's judgments were weighing on me so heavy. You know,
uh-huh.
all of those things I kept hearing from friends and family and, you know, all of that sort of thing had been weighing so heavy for so long. And once I started hearing non-judgmental, I don't know that I'd ever heard that toward me before, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that started sinking in. It's amazing the weight that comes off of you when you start thinking non-judgmental and accepting, you know? And that's part of what gave birth to the program I developed, you know, the love, accept, and respect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can do that, talk about a gift for yourself. Oh,
yeah.
Right. You know?
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
But, well, just as with a coach, it's also obviously very important that a sex therapist doesn't judge her clients. You know, if somebody comes in with, say, kinky sexual behavior that they've enjoyed for a number of years but they feel guilty about, it's
right.
not helpful for the sex therapist to say, you do what?
Exactly.
So part of our training then, and I'm going to another conference, this one is Quad S, Scientific Society for Study of Sexuality in Phoenix, the third week in November, getting more CEs. You know, we have to continue to get the continuing education credits.
Definitely.
I remember many years ago, perhaps 25 years ago, going to a conference and they had a panel of BDSM practitioners, and we could hear their points of views, and it was very illuminating. There was one couple, married couple, and one was a top and one was a bottom. In other words, one was a dominant, the other was submissive, and they wrote a book. Just love the title. Forget the roses. Send me the thorns.
I like that.
Yeah. It stuck in my mind. So I think when we, in a personal relationship, when we can't disclose our that we like to masturbate. Some couples can't even, not after they've seen me a few times because I model the vocabulary, but some couples can't even say the word masturbate, let alone imagine sharing the act.
Right.
And what's true is when we can't disclose our sexuality, it holds both and the orgasm hostage.
Right.
And, yeah.
Even as far as I've come, I still have issues with a lot of these things. So, I mean, I've done so great talking about it on the show, you know, which is it's amazing the wonders that having the show has done for me.
And, oh yeah,
and it's so awesome the things that having such an awesome variety of guests. I look down through the archives sometimes, and it's amazing looking through the archives and the names and the titles of the shows and you know, just kind of reliving some of the shows and what I've talked to people about and all this kind of stuff, you know, and it's amazing how it opens your mind, you know, interviewing the people and talking to them about different things and you know, I do the shows and I love editing them myself because I leave in the moments where they leave me speechless, I leave those in there. Even though I do them ahead of time and I could take those out, I like leaving them in because I want that realism in my reactions, like, what? You did what? You know, kind of thing.
Yeah, well, you know, that makes you more authentic and you are on a little more of a recent learning curve.
Right,
you know,
right.
I've been doing this, as I mentioned earlier, for over 30 years, so that helps me. I'm very comfortable. A study was done of sex therapists wondering if they had better sex than the most people in the population. And it turned out that they do because sex therapists can have sex without anxiety, that they have so much knowledge and that so they don't have anxiety about it. They just they know not, and we're back to knowledge is power, right?
Yes,
knowledge
is
power.
It is.
Yeah. And so I, you know, I can hear in your story that it's represented a lot of personal growth for you, and I'm going to be sure that Dr. Ava listens to this show because you're giving a real testimonial for the benefits of her Loveology University. And, you know, I was there. I lived in Los Angeles when she was putting this all together. So
oh,
we
cool.
go back, I don't know, 12 years or so, maybe a little more than that. And I was on her faculty. I'm not sure that I still am. I'm in Seattle, so I'm kind of out of the way. But when I lived there,
you were the same time I was, actually.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Good. So,
still working through some things, but yeah, a whole. So it just the difference is just night and day. It's just it's amazing. It really is. But,
yes.
But yeah, the days of no, it feels good, but no, those are basically behind me. So that's good.
Of course. And has it informed with all this openness? Has it in fact informed your businesses, your promotional businesses? And you told me off the air that your companies are promotional companies are in how many foreign countries? Because you're
I've had clients in 17 countries.
17 countries.
Yeah.
So has this informed you're learning to be a master sexpert and certified love coach? Has this informed your businesses?
In what way?
Well, I don't know. Just that you are any of the businesses related to personal? Probably not. It probably doesn't. I'm thinking about you just being more open in general. But perhaps there isn't a crossover.
Well, you know, it's working with Dr. Ava actually opened the door for me to do some for the work that I've done with Tova Fader, and I love the stuff I've done with Tova. I mean, the education I've gotten working with her has been incredible. You know, with the books that she's released, and you know, including the interview that I'm doing with her that I'm airing Thursday night. That, I mean, that was a great tie-in, and great information that I've learned with her. So it's been interesting because, like I said, people saw all the things that I've posted on social media with the work I've done with Dr. Ava, mm-hmm. and I mean they've seen the things that I post with my show, so they know that I'm comfortable with the topics, which
right.
is kind of like just some promotional stuff I've done. They've seen the reviews that I've done for different products and different books and all that. So there's been some crossover. That I'd like to do a lot more promotional work with the mm-hmm. sex education and that sort of thing, because I'm very comfortable with the products and the topics. So there are some. Like I said, I'd like to do a lot more.
Right,
but,
and it will evolve, mm-hmm. I suspect.
Yeah.
I similarly to you, I've learned so much. I've been doing this program. Let's see, it was with Progressive Radio Network. It was 6 years in February, so we're up to maybe 6.5 years now, a little more than that. And I've learned a lot from doing the show, and like you, to having different guests, it's wonderful.
Right.
And it's such an amazing way to get out information about relationships and about
yeah.
sexuality. And so many people are really needing that information.
Yeah.
And going back to orgasms, and it's so elusive for some, I point out that there are some enjoyable parts of sex that don't involve orgasm, such as being physically close with a partner and
mm-hmm.
having fun and being relaxed and just feeling the pleasure of sexual arousal inside our body and even allowing ourselves to be held and comforted. You know, sex can be very healing if you're upset. And then just naked bodies together can release oxytocin, and that's just wonderful for us.
It is.
And then it can also, we can feel more intimate. We can be kind of raunchy and let go. It'll help us switch off from work. It can help us feel more sensuous and feeling cared for, and on and on and on. Now, if you're really doing all of those things and staying present, even though all of these things don't involve orgasm, you're more likely to have an orgasm if you stay really focused and... Right? So, and let go.
If you're not so focused on it, you know, and just be in the moment. Be a woman with your partner. And I think so many people aren't focused on just being, you know, on all the senses. That's one of the things that I loved with the things that I've done with Tova and digging deeper into, like, sensate focus.
Right.
I love that. And I've loved watching Masters of Sex, you know, with all of the things with Masters and Johnson, because I understand in depth, you know, with the stuff that they've just kind of hit on, you know, a little bit in the series, because obviously they don't have time to, like, dig so deep into all the things they studied.
Yeah, I've read the book, but I don't have HBO, so I haven't seen the program.
Well,
but the book is wonderful, Masters of Sex, by... Meyer is his name. I think his first name is Thomas. And so it really recounts all in detail all of the work that Masters and Johnson did.
Well, the delving into the sensei focus and the being so aware of all of the senses, you know, and not just, you know, the so much more detail of foreplay and, you know, the smells and the touch and the sight and just all of your senses being involved. And then all the details of you know, the interviews that she did with all of the surrogates, the perspective of like 20 different surrogates and how they work with their clients and therapists and how they interwork with the surrogates. And it was just fascinating. I just loved it.
You're talking about Virginia Johnson and her interviews with the surrogates in the day?
This is interviews that Tova did in the book that we just talked about in the interview.
I would like, so you're going to interview her tomorrow night, and when I write this up, this summary, I, of course, will put the link so people can hear the show, and that'll be readyforloveradio.com. Is that, they go to that and they'll see the link?
Actually, it's going to air Thursday night.
That's what I said. That's what I meant to say. Didn't I say it? Okay, Thursday night. So then I want to have you back for part two next week, and maybe we can talk some about that.
Like I said, it's fascinating because there's so many misconceptions about what a surrogate does and surrogate partner therapy. And I, like I said, after working with her and she did all the interviews, and then, I mean, you know, as far as the editing and making sure we had everything word perfect and everybody was happy. And I mean, when you look at the interviews that were done and, you know, exactly what was done and the therapist and how it works together, it was just so fascinating. It really was.
Mm-hmm.
But,
a lot of people have misconceptions about surrogates.
Yes, they really do. They really do. That's why I was just so happy to get to share it with people. So,
yeah. Well, I think it would be a good idea for us to touch on that next week. And you have you have another interesting guest besides Tova, a guy named Chad Stone. And refresh my memory, what do you talk to him about, or what was your interview with him about?
He was my babe magnet, right?
Oh, right, the middle-aged babe magnet, right.
We had more fun with that. Oh, I had to pick on him.
Yeah.
Well, and I like the perspective that he told me, and I re-aired his show a few weeks ago. He told me, he says, okay, let me tell you a story about the babe magnet thing right up front. He says what he was doing was figuring out, he figured out what he considered to be a babe, okay, what kind of woman he wanted, And then what he was doing was deciding what he needed to do in order to attract the woman he wanted, which in turn would make him a babe magnet. I said, well, no, that makes sense. Okay, that I understand. So what he was doing in the book was helping people to see how they could become a babe magnet to attract the woman that they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes a lot of sense once you put it that way. But and he has a new book out, so I'm gonna try to get him on around the first of the year to talk about the new book too.
So this is how to be a middle-aged babe magnet part two or something like that, huh?
It's the magnet rules. I forget the exact name of it, but yeah, mm-hmm. I just talked to him the other day, and he said that he would be happy to come on and talk about the new book with me too. So
good.
Yeah, I actually started out. And what about 9 years ago? I used to interview just authors all the time.
Uh huh.
But talking about sex is a lot more fun.
Yes, well it is. And now you have written, well, as I understand it, 33 books. So these have to do more with business and promotional, or any of them about sex?
Actually, I've got books about a little bit of everything. I've got novels and promotional books. And mm-hmm. business books, and I've got, 15 relationship books?
Oh.
So I got all kinds of stuff.
And people can find the list on your website?
They can.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Actually, NikkiLeeAuthor.com has all of them, and then ReadyForLoveRadio.com has the relationship books.
Okay.
Actually, Chad's new book is The Love Magnet Rules. That's what it is.
Okay. All right. Good. But Nikki Lee, author, has all of them. And then on your radio show link, you have the relationship ones.
Yeah. ReadyForLoveRadio.com. Yeah, I went ahead. I just wanted a website just for the radio show. And on the archive page, I've got archives of all my shows to date, and I've also got coming soon. Everything booked through the middle, actually through almost the end of January. All the shows mm-hmm. I've got scheduled through the end of January are all listed, too. So lots of cool stuff coming up.
You're very organized, Nikki.
I'm just ahead of the game for a change.
Yeah, no, I'm impressed. I can't say the same for myself.
It's not usually good, but right now I'm ahead of the game for a change.
Yeah, well, that's super.
You on my schedule.
Yeah.
We have to get you scheduled, too, now, too.
Yeah, sure.
We'll talk about that afterwards.
Okay, good. So we have about, we have to stop at a few minutes before the top of the hour, but
Can I say one more thing real quick about the whole women
in
religion?
Tell me.
Okay. One of the things that, and one of the reasons why, in addition to I was feeling so much better about me, it wasn't all about me that I pursued the coaching thing, and the main reason I started the radio show, I didn't realize I was going to get so much out of it. The reason I started it, and I still pursue it, is I felt so much better, and things we're doing were just improving so much for me personally, and I seen so many other women that were raised the same way I was and felt the same way I was and denied themselves any kind of physical pleasure and sexual pleasure and that kind of thing in relationships. And I said, you know, honestly, if this information can do this much for me, and I know this is going to sound corny to some people, but I'm talking from the heart when I say this.
No, I believe you.
I had to find a way to get the information out there and help other people. And,
yes.
And that's why I put the program together that I did. That's why I write the books that I do. And that's why I've got the radio show. And I said, you know, if I can do these things and use this to get that stuff out there, and if I can help people to feel even a fraction of what I'm feeling and how much better I'm feeling about things, and they can find any of this pleasure with their partner, I got to do it. I have got to get this stuff out there. And that's
why it actually becomes quite altruistic.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
It does. The thing is, I can't keep this to myself and not share it.
Yeah, of course.
They've got the ability to read the books or tune into the radio show. And like I said, I've got an archive of over 100 shows at this point. It's like 115 of them. And I, you know, you can listen to the most innocent show you want, or you can listen to, you know, whatever you want. I've got it.
You know? Yeah, that's great. And so also, and I do too. So people can go to read the write-up that I'm going to write about this show. They need to go to drdianawiley.com, DR for doctor, DIANAWILEY.com. And then there's also a link to Progressive Radio Network, PRNFM.com. And so it's a wonderful thing that we've got the internet now, and people can, information is just so much more widely available. Isn't that such a good thing?
It is. It is. Makes it so, well, you know, I've been doing promotional stuff for years, and it used to be so much harder to get stuff out there.
You know? I bet.
It used to, we used to have to do things the hard way, man.
Yeah, what did you used to do?
You used to have to, like, mail things.
That's what I thought, do mailings, yeah.
I was just talking to a friend earlier about, you know, direct mail response rates. So, like, man, we didn't used to have Facebook.
Well, that's right. It's the internet has changed everything. Nikki, this has been a very illuminating show with you, and I really appreciate it. I never talked about religion and sex per se, and some of the carryovers
yes.
that get sort of integrated into your whole philosophy. And you probably know that you're not going to change your dad's idea at this point, but
nope.
Your mother, before her death, recognized that you, her daughter, were changed because of some of these teachings.
Yeah.
And she could see the happiness in your face. I do think she gave you quite a gift before she passed on.
I agree.
Yeah.
My thing is, at some point, I am determined I'm going to write a book about it. I'm going to write a book about what I think religion does to relationships and how I think we can help them. I'm determined I'm going to do it. Actually, I really want to crowdfund the idea and see what happens.
So. Okay. All right.
And if I do, you're on my list of people I'm going to talk to when I do my research. So be warned. Be warned.
All right. Okay. And so you're going to be back. There's the music. So we'll talk some more next week, Nikki. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. All right, everybody. Tune in next week with part two with Nikki Lee. Bye-bye.
Telefonerai probabilmente a me tuo schiavo d'amore. Ti divertirai, che traguardi vuoi farmi trovare?